Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your great and mighty love with which you have loved us. We give you praise for your Holy Spirit that now indwells us. We thank you. Father, as we get into your word, we ask that indeed our eyes of understanding is better enlightened. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise and honor. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Right, so we are going to be wrapping up, believers, wrapping up, packing it. We're just going to pack it, all right? Believers worship today. And, before now, we've spoken to ourselves about worship. What is worship? What worship is not? We've emphasized, the worship that Jesus did on our behalf, that he actually offered himself up, all right? And is the true worship, is the reality of all worships, all right? Praise God. We've said that in time past. And one of the things we've said is that what the worship that Jesus did made it possible, we're going to touch more on that today, for us all to worship God, for us all to come before God and present ourselves and serve him. Praise God. Now, we took a twist in about 3 weeks ago. Please, let's follow. All right, in about 3 weeks ago, where we began to look at that word worship in its meaning. All right, one of the things we said is that there's this difficulty in language translation, all right, that has packed so many nuances or concepts or activities together and has called all of those activities worship. All right, we could say maybe they are synonyms, maybe they are related words, but we saw actually they may be related. But those nuances, those specifics of the activity of worship seems to be lost, all right, when we just call everything worship, all right? And without study, like we've done in the last couple of weeks, we can give it another meaning all by itself. Where we now call worship singing. Let's just, do praise and worship. Okay? Yet, that word worship carries some weight, some meaning, some weight that must never be lost in our walk with the Father. Hallelujah. Sir, no Bible? You should have a Bible in church and a note. Praise God. We've said it many times. It's not encouraging. Okay. Let's come back to God's word. Praise God. Let's get to God's word. All right. So we said that... Wait. I lost my thought now. Help me. Nuances, right? Of the word. Okay. And we said that we should never lose that. Praise God. And one of those nuances, all right, we saw the word proskuneo, all right? We saw the word proskuneo. We saw the word proskuneo. We saw the word sebomai, right? We said proskuneo means to come before, pay homage, bow down, all right? Give something, kiss the foot of the person you are worshiping. All right, we say sebomai talks more about reverence, honor to God, and it is yet worship. We said honor to God is worship, and also without taking time to emphasize that again, we said there's another word that means latria. All right, yeah, that word latria. All right, we said it is. Last week we talked about that. So before we got to latria, last week again we emphasized another word that we call devotion. And devotion is part of our worship. Devotion is part of our worship. In fact, devotion is worship on its own. That time that we spend with God, that time that we devote ourselves to read the Bible, to pray, to receive from him, to talk to him, to learn from him, all right? We said that is worship. That word, all right, we saw how that same word has been translated, that word sebomai, all right, was translated worship in the New Testament Greek, All right? That, yeah, to revere, to venerate, to honor, to devote ourselves to God. It's worship. Praise God. All right? Then, you know, last week also, we began to look at this word that we've called latria. All right? Latria or latrio. Praise God. The noun and the verb of it. And we said it is service to God. This, we're going to see, this word latria, all right, also was translated worship. All right? So, I mean, there are many words. At least we've seen proscunio, translated worship. We've seen sebomai, translated as worship. We've seen latria, all right, translated as worship. All right? We're going to see other words like that translated as worship. Yet, they carry different weights, different nuances in the Greek word, in the Bible that we're reading. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I don't want us to lose that. So what we've been doing is to pick on these words one after the other to see how they impact on our Christian living. Praise the Lord. How it impacts on our Christian living. Praise God. Now, we've said that many times. There's one word that I'm looking for from what we said last week, just so before we get into God's word today. Praise God. So we said latria means to serve God or to minister to God. So singing is not just worship. Service is worship. Ministering to God is worship. All right? So that when we do these things, or when we emphasize this, or when we are particular about these things, we know exactly what we're doing or where we're coming from. So that when you say, I want to worship God, I just want to praise the Lord. I lift my hands to say, you know exactly what we're doing. All right? That I lift my hands to worship you. Okay, we can do that. But then we must know where that is coming from, so that we are guarded and we are guided as we get it to do some of these things. I don't want us to get into Christianese, you know, the Christies well, without really knowing exactly what we're doing. And that's where we're going, you know, in this fashion with God's word. So, today we're going to talk more about this latria word, all right? And it talks more about service, Christian duties. In fact, temple services, or to serve God. Because at the end of the day, I want us to ask ourselves, have I been serving God? Maybe that question is coming too early. It should come after. Because that is a worship to God. All right? To render sacred service to God. Now, let's say this. There is something called the service of God. There is something the Bible introduced, we're going to see today, the Bible introduces to us as the service of God, such that it is not optional, it is expected. Praise God. Such that it is not, maybe not, maybe I can, maybe I will not. You will see today in God's word that service, all right, God expects service from us. God expects service, worship. Know the context now, all right? He expects that from you and I. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, it is not optional. It is accepted. Expected. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. We're going to see the story of Adam, the very first man, all right? When God made him. Now, notice Adam here will be in his perfect state. He has not fallen. He has not sinned. He's not yet been tempted here. All right? But God will create him and put him in a garden so that he can tend and keep that garden. All right? In the Hebrew, it connotes, it carries the meaning and the weight of service. So that you are doing, God gave us a task and we are doing something. That's from the very beginning. All right? The man Adam, all right? So, keeping the garden, tending the garden, in this sense, will be Adam's worship to God. Can we agree on that? All right? In this context. So that would be tending, that would be keeping the garden that God made and put it. So he didn't just put him there to eat all the coconuts and the mangoes and stuff, or chase all the lions and baboons. You understand? He gave him a task. He gave him a service, something to do. All right? Praise God. So you will see that from the very beginning, all right, God, so if we have told ourselves in church before that God never really changed his plan, that really, God did not really. It's just one way. His plan from the beginning, I'll say that better, his plan from before the beginning of the world, that plan is still the same throughout. Hallelujah. All right? So it did not change. All right? Service is expected. Now, and another thought that I want us to have is Exodus chapter 8, verse 1. The children, fast forwarding now, all right? The children of Israel, okay? God told Moses and told him, go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. All right? Do you know what he told them to go and do? All right? He says, so that they can, let's read it. He says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord. All right? The Lord says, let my people go. Let them go so that they can marry. No. Or they can rest. No. Now look at it. All right? So there's an intent. Amen? Amen? There's an intent in God's mind, in God's heart, that they may serve him. Correct? That, so is service, or was God expecting service from the Israelites upon their exit from Exodus? Yes. Let's say it better. Was God, did God intend service when he said, I will let them go? Yes. So there is a service, all right, that is worship, all right? And it is, because we are talking about believers worship, all right? We are talking about what we do, what you and I do today, all right, as worship to God. It is reverence to him, we've said it. It is devotion to him, we've said it. Now, we're looking at it now that service is worship, or worship, vice versa, is service. Hallelujah. And that God expects it. God intends, God means it. We're going to see some more today, praise God. All right? Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. Exodus again, just to see the intention of God when he was setting free, all right, the children of Israel. So he said, now at this point, it's not even, they are not set free yet, all right? He said, I will certainly, talking to Moses, be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you, all right? He says, look at it. When you have, it has not happened now, all right? When you have, so God in his mind sealed it, that definitely the children of Israel, they will come out of Egypt. They will be set free. Now look at it. He says, when you have brought the people out of Egypt. Oh, he even pointed out the place. Hallelujah. To say, you shall serve God on this mountain. Can we say, you will worship God on this mountain? All right, so service is required from every believer. All right, we are inferring now, we're putting it together now, because in this case, he was talking about the children of Israel. But you can see that, hey, he says, you shall serve God. We're getting to the details. Let's flow together. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 9, verse 4. We are putting everything together now. Now we are skipping, coming back to, I want us to see how Paul described what God told. Please pay attention. What God told, what God told the children of Israel, or how God saw them. Look at it. Praise God. So in this case, Paul was lamenting about the state of Israel, that they were serving, they were worshiping God their way. They wanted to please God their way. That God, you said this, but this is the way I've chosen to say. So he was just praying, oh, that I wish, and all. It was, because I want us to read that in context, okay? Because if you read in context, it was a complaint. It was a lament. But then in that lament, there are some truth. So he was talking about the children of Israel. Let's look at it. He says, who are Israel to whom pertain the adoption, meaning God adopted them. God took them, all right, based on the promise that he made with their father Abraham, all right, and the glory, they saw the glory of God. They saw the power of God. Now look at it again. He says, and the covenant, all right, what God said, what God promised. Now look at it, and the giving of the law, all right, all right. He says, hey, they were giving, now look at the last bit, and the service of God. Whoa. So, and the promise. Let's put that. Now, I just want to lift out that service of God. So it means part of what God committed to the children of Israel is not just the covenant, not just the glory, not just the promise, not just the law. All right. He gave them some services. He told them to do some things. All right. So there is such as the service of God. Hello, I've been meditating about this, all right, for some weeks now, thinking, oh, so God actually committed a service. We've said it in different versions, all right, but we're just bringing it out now, all right, that there is a service of God. There is such as the service of God, and that it is expected, all right? In the Old Testament, you call this temple services. Different from what the high priest would do and all. Now, we did a study on this some 3 years ago. We called it the believer's priesthood. Please, I want to encourage you. It's on our website also, that you take time and listen to all of these things again. All right? That, hey, there is a service that has been committed to the believer. All right? You see, it says, them, right, who are Israel, to whom pertain the adoption, then you can see that the service of God. Please, can we say together, the service of God? Service of God. Okay, this has been committed to my hands. Let's say it better now. The service of God has been given to me. Praise God. You know, there are some people. Okay, let's carry on. Praise God. Amen. All right, so this is not volunteering. Right? That's not volunteering, all right? It's not a casual activity. No, it's a sacred service. All right? You know, we stopped using volunteers in church. Ah, volunteers, they are volunteers. Well, in essence, but you know, we've warned ourselves never to use modern day definition for Bible meanings or for Bible words. All right? To the believer, all right, God has committed to us what? His service. We're going to try and expose that service. We can't do the details of it now, maybe in another study. We will look at the full length of the services of God. But I want us to know that service, all right, is part of our, I don't want to say part of our worship. I'm careful to say that. It's actually the worship. Just like your devotion is your worship. Just like when you honor God, all right, we say, oh, I'm coming to church. I'm coming, all right, I'm preparing. It's nothing casual. Nothing casual. Honor to God, reverence to God, devotion, service. God, so think about it. The people that I will commit something to will be people that I trust. All right? So if God commits a service to you, you want to pay attention. Like we're told this morning, you want to attend to it. Hallelujah. Let's see some things quickly. Okay. We said it earlier. So that someone will say, oh, maybe it's not me, maybe it's me. Well, the work of Jesus, we said it earlier, but it's worth reminding ourselves. The work of Jesus, or the service of Jesus, makes every believer capable of service. So there's no one that is incapable of serving God. What Jesus did made it possible for everybody to serve God. What he did. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 1, verse 74. Luke 1, 74 and 75. We read it last week. I want us to see. We're going to read some couple of scriptures. We're going to read some scriptures now. We're going to do that quickly. Just so we are, we just see that in God. So look at what the angel said about Jesus Christ when he was given the news of his birth. He says, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemy, might do what? Serve God. So one of the things that Jesus did, All right, is to deliver us. And one of, so deliverance, what should it lead to? It should lead to service. Being set free from the hands of the enemy, of the wicked, should do what? Should lead to service. Hallelujah. Let's read some more. Some more. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. Then after that, we're going to read Hebrews 12, 28. Hebrews 9, 14. Look at it. Talking about what Jesus did. He says, how much more shall the blood of Christ... So, and when we've told ourselves here that when you see the blood of Christ, don't see red, white blood cells, all right, or hemoglobins. No, he's talking about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, all right? So, through that event, all right, so, of Christ, who through eternal spirit, all right, we came here weeks ago, this particular text, all right, offered himself without spot to God. Now, look at it. See what he has done. See what that activity, that event, Jesus's death and burial and resurrection, all right? See, the essence is to cleanse our conscience from dead works. So meaning there are some things people do, some dead works that people do, all right? That is dead work. Now, see what he wants us to do. He says, Christ offered himself, all right, to cleanse our conscience to serve the living God. Please, again, can we say together, all right, that I have the conscience to serve the living God. I have the conscience to serve the living God. Hallelujah. Because that was what Jesus did. And Jesus is, in Jesus's, there's no error in Jesus's work. That work is perfect. That work is final. It's finished. In that he did it and he cleansed our conscience, all right, from dead works, all right, to serve the living God. So every believer, all right, can serve the living God. Praise God. Let's see some more scripture. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Then after that, we're going to read Revelation 1 and 5. Look at this again. Therefore, since we are receiving, or since we have, KJV puts it, it says, since we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken. All right? So, like we're told again this morning, there's no doubt we are sons. We've received this kingdom. We are in the kingdom. God has blessed us forever. We've been saved from our enemies forever. All right? He says, let us have grace by which, so that's an instruction, by which we may serve. All right? So that word serve there is that word latria. So all the serve we've seen is latria. All right, in other places that was translated also as worship. All right, so that we may serve God, all right, acceptably, all right, with reverence, praise God, and godly fear. So every, because we're in that kingdom, all right, we now can serve God acceptably, all right, with reverence, all right, and with godly fear. Revelation chapter 1. We're still going to read some more scriptures today. The idea of scriptures, all right, is to persuade us to know that these things are there. And the job of a pastor is to give us plenty of them so that our mind can think about these things. The reason we said it's good to write these things down so that you can recheck, you can check, you can persuade yourselves of this truth. Praise God. Now, Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Let's read it. And 6. He says, and from Jesus Christ, again, look at, it is Jesus Christ who did all of this. Jesus Christ, he came so that we can serve God. Jesus Christ offered, so it's about the blood. Look at, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us, look at it again, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Again, don't see somebody washing. That talks about his death, his burial, and his resurrection, right? So through that, he washed us from our sins. Now, in doing that, verse 6, see what he did in let's count. Can we do that together, friends? Verse 6. One, two, go. And has made us kings and priests, so is God and Father, unto him be the glory and dominion forever. Now, when you see kings, all right, we are kings, yes, indeed. We are sons. We are seated with Christ. Yes, there's no doubt. We are co-heirs, joint heirs with the Son, with Christ, no doubt. But then, when you hear priest, it talks about service, talks about duties, and it is our worship to God. Hallelujah. Are we together? Praise God. Let's see some more. All right. So, redemption, I wrote here. I said redemption, okay, leads to service. I said something here that I want you to listen carefully, all right? Not to bash on anyone, but I'll say it, all right? We have every reason. I haven't seen what we've seen. How many scriptures have we seen? About four of them. We have many more. What Jesus did, so that we can serve. What Jesus did, so that we can serve. What Jesus did, now we are kings, we are priests, all right? Now, listen to this, friends. We have every reason to doubt your salvation if you don't serve God. All right? Because Jesus cannot be a liar. He said he did this so that you can. All right? We just some mathematics there. But if you are not doing what Jesus said you will do because he has saved you, then we doubt if Jesus had saved in the very first place. Praise God. You know, I added a caveat, right? Praise God. Those are strong ones there. But please know where that is coming from, all right? Because we have the responsibility to serve Jesus. Amen. One of the things also, all right, one of the things that has happened to us is that maybe before we move on from there, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Let's read that quickly. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I'm watching my time, and I've got some thoughts to share with us. I hope you are getting blessed. I hope it's making sense. Service is what God expects from us, all right? And it's your worship. It's your worship to God. But you shall receive power. We've clarified that word receive, all right? You will take on power. You will lambano power, all right? When the Holy Spirit has come on you, all right? And you shall be my witness. Now, that word witness there is a verb. You shall be. You will do something. All right? So it means that upon Jesus' death and burial and resurrection, he gave us the Spirit, all right, to empower us to serve him. Correct? Hallelujah. Are we together? Amen? Up of Jesus. That does it. Up of Jesus. You saw I wasn't went to Sunday school. Anyway, praise God. Okay, let's go on quickly because of our time. Now, having said all of those, we have the Spirit. Jesus saved us, right, so that we can serve him. I want to see examples in the scripture. All right? Now, there's something I want to show us again, just before we go to those examples. Philippians chapter 3, we've read it earlier, verse 3. Philippians 3:3. All right, we've been reading service, all of those service we've read, you know, in the scripture today. It's that word latria or latrio, depending on the noun and the verb of it. Praise God. Look at it. Philippians 3:3. Paul was talking about himself. He says, for we are the circumcision. Now, he's talking about we are the kind. We are the type of people, all right, whom Christ saved, all right, who worship. Now, this word worship here, all right, is not your zebazomine, it's not the proscunio. That word worship there is that same word service. Is that same word latria. So Paul is saying that, hey, in our circumcision, in what Christ has done for us, in that we are saved, all right, we serve God. So that worship there is service. Who serve God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ, and we have no confidence in the flesh. Hallelujah. Now, what I want us to do is just some reading of scriptures, and we talk to ourselves from there. Examples of men that served God, men and women that served God in the Bible. Luke chapter 2, 36 and 37. And we can begin to see how they served God. We just learn from their service. Luke chapter 2, 36 and 37. Look at it. Now, there was one Anna, there's no H, Anna, okay, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. Now look at this verse 37. This woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple. What did she do? All right, she served God this one is latrio. She served God. How did she serve God? With fasting and prayers. Night and day. That would be our worship to God. All right? And what we are calling ourselves to do is to learn from this, that service, worship goes way beyond singing or Sunday or Thursday. Well, it is a service to God. And that service, all right, am I just cleaning the chairs? Am I just, we are saying, now that's part of it. We're coming there, all right? But you can see here that, there is a physical element to this service, and there is also the spiritual beat to this service. And we are all expected to do that all together, all right? He says, this woman will serve God, all right, with fasting and prayer. This morning I was praying about this service. You know, I was just thinking, and it occurred to me, that who are the people? Now, before that, she was praying for the fulfillment of the prophecy of the Messiah. All right? So the will of God, the plan of God, she was praying to see that come true. Right? She did that faithfully, day and night, in the temple, with fasting and prayer. So the question is, are the believers house, O church, where are the people serving God? Are you serving God? All right? Where are the people, praise God, praying and fasting that the will of God will be done? Day and night. Okay. Praise God. That sound. Anyway, let's not be distracted. Let's move on. Because it says, with fasting and prayers, night and day. All right? So, we saw she served God. So that's an example that we can see there. Let's move on quickly. Moses. Let's see how God referred to Moses. We're just going to read some scriptures. Moses. All right. So you know that worship is not just the lamb. All right. It's not just the lamb and the sacrifices and the products and produce and all the broth. But you will see how God referred to men. That reference to men that walked with God is consistent throughout the scripture. And, you know, we just picked a major of them. Moses. Numbers chapter 12. Numbers 12, 7 and 8. Well, what are we doing today? We're just persuading ourselves, encouraging ourselves that our worship to God, all right, is our service to Him. And He expects that from the very beginning. He said, let them go so that they can serve me. Look at it. Now, God was talking here when Miriam and Co, they confronted Moses and all, but see God's reference, God's description, God's definition of Moses, all right? The very first line, not so with who? Who do you call? You know, that word servant comes from the word serve, to serve, all right? So God sees him as one who serve. And see how he described him, all right? Before we hammer Moses, he gave the law. But see, God said he's faithful. God called Moses faithful in all my house. All right? But not just that. I like the fact that he referred to Moses as his servant. Hallelujah. Can we say Moses is God's worshiper in that he served God? Hallelujah. All right? I just want us to rethink our service to God. I want us to rethink our walk with the Father. All right? So that we are not thinking that the marking script, the marking scheme, right, is the same. Right? He's faithful. Verse 8. I speak to him face to face. Even now, the last bit there is there. Look at it. Look at this last bit, just to save time. He says, why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? See how God was bragging about. He calls him his servant Moses. Hallelujah. Let's see some more. I'm just pointing these things out today so that you know God knows. God expects it, and he knows. He called Moses his servant. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Oh, this. I read this yesterday, and I'm like, oh my God, look at that. Praise God. Deuteronomy 34. Deuteronomy 34, verse 5. Sorry. I know you're waiting for that. Praise God. So look at it. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died. even in death. All right? He says, Moses, the servant of God. Did you see the point? All right? Meaning, oh, I'm going to miss this man. In a sense, that is Moses, the servant of the Lord, died. All right? So he's referred to as Moses. You know, Joshua, we're not going to read the reference about Joshua. Joshua said it, as for me and my house, we throw party, we will serve. Meaning, he knew that is what is expected. That is what God has called all of his children to. To serve him. Let's read some more quickly. Hallelujah. Abraham. Let's talk about Abraham again. Psalm 105, verse 6. Then we're going to read verse 42. Psalm 105. Look at this again. All seed of Abraham is servant. The psalmist was writing there. He called Abraham the servant of God. Verse 42 of that same chapter. Look at it. He says, for he remembered his holy promise. So Abraham is servant. Are we making sense today? What are we saying? Persuading ourselves of the service of God. All right? And we've seen that men that walked with God, all right? I mean, they are being referred to as servants of God. Let's skip the rest. The rest of reference, we have references about Abraham being the servant of God. But let's talk about David. I mean, I'm just pointing it out, David. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Samuel 3:18. Talking about David, you will see. Now, what one word have we been seeing since? Moses, servant of God. Anna, served God. Abraham, servant of God. Look at this one again. Look at this about David again. All right. Now then, do it for the Lord. Do it. For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant. I mean, I want us to see that. My servant, David. He calls David again his servant. Praise God. Okay, Acts chapter 13, verse 36. Acts 13, 36. We're going to wrap up shortly. All we're doing today is just persuading ourselves that the believer's worship goes beyond singing. We will sing, there's no doubt. We lift up our voice and sing to him, you know, as we revere him, as we love him, as we devote ourselves to him. But we are saying that, hey, much, 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 much more than the song. That everyday life, every morning, all right, every breathing moment, there's an expectation of God upon our lives. And it is to serve him. It's to serve him. Look at it. Again, generations after, or years after David had passed away, all right, Paul was talking about him here. He says, for David, after he did what? He had served. All right? He served his own generation by the will of God. So people still refer to his service in that, of course, you will see in all of his Psalms how he pointed us to what God was going to do in the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow, in that he resurrected and all of those glory now has been attributed to us. We read all of those in Psalm. David, a servant of God. Well, maybe we say, okay, those are Old Testament saints and all. Let's look at Jesus. Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Let's look at Jesus. Philippians 2, 6 and 7. Amen. Talking about Jesus Christ. All right. I like this. Praise God. He says, who being in the form of God, that's Jesus in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, all right, but made himself of no reputation. That would say, they don't even know who I am. I am the, well, we saw Jesus that is equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, all right. What did he do? He took the form of a servant. Okay, he says, the form of a, he became a bond servant in that he served God. He says, and coming in the likeness of men. Jesus, our Lord, served God. Praise the Lord. Paul. Let's just look at Paul. Paul. Again. Do we need to talk about Paul? So when Paul comes to say, I, Paul, the servant of God. We're going to Romans chapter 1, verse 1. All right? You know where that is coming from now. That I worship God in my service. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Let's read it. Romans chapter 1. Look at it. Paul. A what? Now. You know, notice he didn't call himself a son of God. But you know he's a son of God. Oh, we've taught ourselves in this church. All right? Some last year, we taught sons of God that we are sons of God. All right? That we've been bought. We are sons of God. But then, notice, you know, there is no reward for sonship. The reward is in servanthood. Because to become a son, we didn't do anything. Jesus did all the work. All right? So say, I'm a child of God. Oh, it's good. It's our reality. We should start from there and know that that friendship, that sonship, all right, it is for servants. It is for service. It is to serve him. The proof of sonship, actually, is servanthood. How we know that, hey, this is a son, all right, it begins to take on the estate of the father. It serves. Praise God. Let's read one more. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. I mean, we have a lot of them, all right? Paul and, look at them again. There are more here. Paul and Timothy. Look at it again. Bond servants of Jesus to all the saints. Now, this again begins to tell us, we talk about this later on in our subsequent studies of God's word, all right? He says, to all the saints, meaning that if you are going to serve God, you will serve men. Right? See how they served God. He says, they are born servants of Jesus Christ to all the souls. Their service towards God will be for men, in that they will pray for men, in that they will go out and talk to men, in that they will walk in love, in that they will give themselves to, they will spend and be spent. Right? That's service. That's worship to God. Praise God. So, the service to Jesus Christ is the service to men. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. I mean, we've read scriptures today, all right? Just to see all of those in God's word. I beseech you, therefore, that's this. Now, I'm presenting to you a call to service. I beseech to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, all right, that you, now, if you read the story that preceded this, all right, some Jews, some Gentiles, they've been bragging that Israel lost it and all of those, all right, but then Paul will correct them. Don't think that way. You should serve them, because service, if you read verse 11, all right, chapter 11, it was talking about this context here, was talking to those Gentiles who were bragging in Rome that, oh, Israel lost it, the knowledge of God, they misunderstood their own law and all of those, all right? He said that, don't think that way, because he's going to say that in verse 2. Don't think that way. Pick on service and talk to them and preach to them. That's the context there. But then let's look at it, all right? He said, I beseech to you, therefore, brethren, the brethren in Rome, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Now, notice there's no as there. We've read that I've always read that. Present your bodies as a living. No. All right? We are not as. It says your bodies a living sacrifice. Because Jesus bought that body. Jesus bought us with a price. All right? So he's saying that you are a living sacrifice. Meaning you are up for service. You are up for sacrifice. Are you getting the point, friends? Is it making sense at all? Hallelujah. All right. See what he's saying here? He says, present your body. All right. That body is a living sacrifice, meaning that body is meant to serve. All right. What do you do with sacrifice? You put them on the altar, right? You present them to God. Now, the animal, they die. All right? But he's saying, by the Spirit of God in us as believers, we've been made a living sacrifice. That is what is holy. That is what is, that word holy, they separated. So meaning we are separated to serve God and we are acceptable. You know, we said it earlier, what Jesus did made it acceptable. We are now acceptable. See what he calls it. He says, doing it this way, presenting your bodies. So meaning that there's no service without you being there. All right? You can't serve, service here is not a mouth service or eye services. It's your body, meaning you'll be there, meaning you will labor, meaning you will pray, meaning you will obey, meaning you will give yourself. What did he call it? He says, it is your reasonable service. Now, I like the way NLT puts it. He says, if you consider all that Jesus has done for you, he says, is it too much to ask? That's how NLT puts it. If you put together all that Jesus did, is it too much to ask that you present your body? Hallelujah. All right. He says that it is the if you have thought about it length and breadth of what Jesus did, the most reasonable, the thing to conclude, the conclusion to make is to serve Jesus. Hallelujah. I wrote, I drafted a frame in my house. I said, Christ's life for my sins. I said, my life for his service. I want us today to be able to make that commitment. That Lord, that I will serve you. Thinking of what you have done for me, all right, I will serve you. Romans, that's in Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Romans 12, 11, look at it. See how he tells us to do it. He says, not lagging. All right? Yeah, KJV calls it not slothful. Slothful means don't delay. Don't drag in diligence, in commitment. All right? See how it says fervent. Meaning fervency talks about, something that is bubbling, hot water bubbling. All right? So you can't just sit pretty. All right? I can't just sit pretty. Think, some people would know. All right? See, all that we said, he saved you to serve him. All right, so he expects us not to be lagging, not to slow down, not to sit pretty, let other people do it. A prophecy came to us this morning. The work ahead of us is so much, and God has got a stake. He needs Ayo, he needs you, he needs all of us to do it. All right, and we should not be lagging in diligence. It says we should be fervent. I've told us, all right, we fervent in the spirit. All right, see how he puts it. He says serving the Lord. It's an instruction to us this morning that we are fervent in the spirit. All right, that we are not slothful in the business of the Father. We saw our Lord Jesus Christ when he was here. He was at the Father's business. I must be at the Father's business. And like I've said many times, for the time cometh when no man can serve again. So the time span that we have to serve, here is time span. Jesus told us that much. For the time cometh when no man can serve again. All right? So he tells us, while we still have all of the energy, all of this, Ayo can still raise his voice. We can still go all around Jersey and perhaps save some, preach the gospel. He says, don't be lacking in that service. Be fervent, meaning be all about it. I wonder at times when we beg you, come to church, come to... No, be fervent. Be the first to get here. Be the first to serve him. Be all about the Father's business. If you have thought about all that Jesus did, is it too much to ask this should be our reasonable service? Because of what Jesus did, I am qualified. Please, can we say together, because of what Jesus did, I am qualified to serve him. Because of the Spirit of God, I am empowered to serve him. I am redeemed. I am saved by Jesus. And I will serve Jesus. And I will serve Jesus. And I will serve Jesus. I choose to serve Jesus over comfort. I choose to labor over laziness in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The service of God is the worship of God. The service of God, all right? So we want to say, we're serving God. And please, let me encourage us to listen. We've talked to ourselves in the last 4 weeks, okay? Listen to this again and again, all right? Let it show in how you serve him. Let it show in your commitment. Let it show in how we relate to God, how we revere him. Let it be so that the only thing that can make you not come will be a matter of life and death. Hallelujah. Let it be that we are all about the service of God. That this song that I love us with, you know, is a very simple song. You know, let's just sing that. I want us, all of us, to sing the song. No music, no drum. Let's just sing the song. You know, say, I live for Jesus day after day. I live for Jesus day after day. The Holy Spirit, I will obey. I live for Jesus day after day. We've seen the life of David. We've seen the life of Moses. We've seen Abraham. We've seen Jesus. And many more that we cannot even touch because of our time today. How God referred to them. They lived for him and they serve him. Can we just sing that song? I live for Jesus day after day. I live for Jesus. Oh, come what may, the Holy Spirit. I will obey. I live for Jesus. I live for him. I live for Jesus. Day after day. I live for Jesus. Oh, come what may. The Holy Spirit. I will obey. Oh, I live for Jesus. Two more times, let's sing it. I live for him. I live for Jesus. Day after day. Oh, I live for Jesus. Oh, come what may. The Holy Spirit. I will obey. I live for Jesus. I live for him. I live for Jesus. Oh, day after day, every day, I live for Jesus. Oh, come what may, the Holy Spirit. I will obey. I live for Jesus day after day. I just want us in a minute to just make that commitment to Jesus today. That in the name of Jesus, I live for you. Come what may. Come rain, come shine. I am found at your service. It is my worship to you. It is my reverence, my honor to you. I serve you in prayers for your work. I serve you in giving myself, in giving my substance, in giving my talent, my time, my money. I serve you in the study of your word, in walking in love. I serve you in spreading the gospel. I commit myself to serve you day after day. Pray for yourself this morning. Pray for yourself this morning. We've seen worship as reverence to God. We've seen worship as devoting ourselves to God. Now we are seeing here that, hey, the worship of God, particularly all of those must nosedive in his service. I will serve him. Work is not an excuse. Family is not an excuse. The comfort that you have given me, they are not excuses. No, I'm a man of commitment, not of convenience. I serve Jesus. Day after day, I serve Jesus. I follow his task and his command. I obey Jesus. I obey Jesus. I obey the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.